No?
Yeah, it would take a lot to kind of rough those up to a spot where if I were pitching, I would feel comfortable.
When you think about it, it's kind of amazing that guys can make the baseball do what it does when you hold kind of this new brand of it. I would just, you know how you throw that curveball or whatever and it just kind of squirts? You don't get the actual drive on it when you kind of miss on one.
Right.
I would never be able to get bite on that thing.
Squirt is a good word for it because I actually feel like these balls right here, it lends itself to squirting out of your hand. You know what I mean?
Yep. That if you've ever done it before, you know it, when you squirt a breaking ball like that, it just it never has the drive to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the secondary reason, or maybe even the primary reason.
It was primary.
That Dan wanted to make sure that he could get his hands on the BP balls. And now he is successfully given them to children who appreciate it.
That's from both of us.
That's not how this works, Connor. You don't get to sign the card.
That's for both.
My wife is sending a condolence card or something. Yeah, I'm also sad that person's dead.
Put me in on that too. Can you please?
From both of us.
It's amazing.
Acknowledge me.
How the significant others do have a good grasp of that, where it's like such and such is getting married. Do you want to be on this card? Oh yes, absolutely.
The
you're
function
correct.
Of the significant other, especially if the significant other is on Facebook and you're not, is to remind you when your friends' birthdays are.
I honestly think that's the only reason left to be
seriously
on Facebook.
That's it. It's that and pictures of your cousins or brothers or sisters' kids.
She's
that's
always
it.
There to tell me, hey, two of your best friends in the world, or one of this and another, congratulate him on this, or so-and-so, his daughter just got into this college or whatever. Like, oh, awesome. This is, and it's all from Facebook because she's on there, and I like, write it down and text away. And thanks.
That's the way it's supposed to
appreciate
go.
Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, have a wonderful weekend. You are off to a great start. Considering the show that you had and the venue that you had to do the show in.
Enjoy yourself.
I hope to continue with the goodness of radio and baseball conversation.
Oh, I know you will.
Yeah.
I want to remind people, don't miss Score Leftovers
tonight.
That's
gonna be nice.
Don't miss
it. Where can they find Score Leftovers?
As soon as it posts, it'll be in the Twitter feed of Bernstein_MCK. It'll be in my Twitter feed, in Connor's Twitter feed, and at 670thescore.com.
And if you want to see Bernstein's balls, you can look in my Twitter
what
feed.
Did you
I
do?
Took a picture of you with your balls.
Well, yeah, that close.
With your
they
balls
always
out.
Like balls.
With your balls out, you, at Lawrence W. Holmes, you can see it.
Parkinson's gonna come shaving.
We are Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSCR in HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. And the top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats championship hockey, and your Chicago Wolves are battling for their Calder Cup lives against the Charlotte Checkers. Go see them play. Go check them out as they try to win a championship. They got a game tomorrow night at 7. Tickets are really inexpensive. You'll have a great time there. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff information. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
The concept of closing is something that has been argued about with all of us. You know, fans of baseball have talked about, well, do you really need someone who's a closer? Or can you have a closer by committee? I'm more traditional in this regard to baseball than just about anything else in the game. I do think that it's important that you have a guy that has a role. And then everyone else, if you know who your closer is, if you know who's going to get the last three outs of a game, I think it makes everyone else's job easier to discern. Like, okay, well, we know who's the guy at the back end. Now we can figure out how we're going to get from our starter to that guy.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until Cubs pregame today. The Cubs start a series with the St. Louis Cardinals, and we are covering it like no one else can. I am broadcasting from the right field porch. This is pretty dope. So, like, if you're on the street, like, listening on the radio.com app, you can look up and see the back of my head. wait, I'm a target. And I can see the rooftops. So if you're listening over on the rooftops, hello. But we have a really great vantage point. I tweeted out a couple of pictures. So if you want to see what we're looking at as the ballpark starts to fill up, we are doing the show live from here. It has been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of news that's happened over the last 90 minutes as well, and I'm going to go through some of that stuff with you. Dan and Connor did a great job kind of filtering through some of the news that was happening with Craig Kimbrell being introduced. He is here in Wrigley Field. He is not going to pitch today, and he's probably not going to pitch until late June and maybe early July, because there's still a lot of stuff that they have to get done with him from a medical standpoint, from a scouting standpoint. But he is signed, it is official, and he is a Chicago Cub. That is one of the stories that we are going to really be looking into deeply as we start out the show. But we start the show as we start all things, with a rundown.
Run them down!
The Rundown.
Plenty of Cubs stuff in the rundown today. We're going to start with hockey and basketball real quick, especially since people in Chicago might be big mad about what's happening with the St. Louis Blues.
One again by Bergeron. Held to the back. Great chance shot. Put off there. Picked up now by Steen. 1 second. And the Blues have the lead. 3-2. Winning the contest by a score of 2-1. And more debris rains down here in Boston.
That's right, Pam Beasley, one of the worst people on the planet. She is a Blues fan. I haven't watched enough hockey to know this season, but I'm going to ask this question because I have been watching the playoffs. Has the refereeing really been bad, or does it seem like it's bad? Jay, you've been watching. It seems like it's been bad.
It's bad in a different way every game. You don't know what the rules are game to game, and that's a huge problem. Back in the day, you used to swallow the whistle in the playoffs, and it was understood. Now, you don't know how the refs are going to call it game to game, and the teams don't know how to adapt to that.
Okay.
It sucks. It's brutal.
It really does suck, and there was a mistripping call that was not called in last night's game, but the Blues are getting closer to winning the Stanley Cup. In the NBA, championships are going to be handed out, but not before there's some punishment that is handed out to one of the minority owners of the Golden State Warriors, who went out of his way to push Kyle Lowry when Lowry went into the stands. So he is going to be out a year of seeing games in person and fined $500,000. Here's what Kyle Lowry had to say about that.
Can you confirm what the guy said to you to go blank yourself? Is that accurate?
Yeah, multiple times.
And then in that situation you were just talking about, how did you keep your cool?
Understanding at the moment my team needed me. Understanding that there are plenty of fans and kids in the world watching this game. And me being a grown man, having kids myself, and I'm a grown man, you know, and my kids could always go back and see that. And anywhere other situation, if it wasn't, you know, in this situation, things may have been, they probably would have been done differently, handled differently by me. But understanding that, I have two young children, and, you know, to being able to hold myself to a certain standard, which I do, I hold myself to a high, high standard. And I got to make sure that I uphold that. And that's a big thing for me, is being a guy that, you know, upholds himself to a high standard, and never, you know, letting guys like him get under your skin, you know, because that's bullcrap.
I agree with him on that. Looks like Klay Thompson is going to be back for tonight's game. KD still out for game 4. Let's move on to the Cubs. Yesterday, them taking on Colorado, finishing up that series, and they were pitched well against, with Peter Lambert doing work for Colorado.
Bodie swings and misses strike 3, and that's out number 1. A curveball got him. It's a simplified motion is what it is, the 3-2 pitch. Strike 3 called. Almora caught looking, 2 down, 7th inning. The 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike 3. Lambert getting stronger as the day wears on. He strikes out the side.
And with the weather being all weird, you had fog, you had sun, you had fog, you had sun. It's not crazy that Chris Bryant lost one.
Reynolds hits a fly ball to right, shallow and playable for Bryant, drifting over toward the line, battling the sun. He lost the ball. It lands fair. Desmond goes to third, holding, and down to second goes Reynolds. A double that was lost in the sun by Chris Bryant in right field.
And usually when stuff like that happens, teams punish you for it, and the Rockies did that.
Driven toward right field and deep, it's going to drive in a run. Bryant back to the track. He'll make the catch, tagging and scoring is Desmond. Reynolds goes to third, but now the Rockies lead by a score of 3-1.
And that would be the way that the game finished.
Cubs trail 3-1 in the ninth. There's a fly ball shallow right, battling the sun is Dahl, the right fielder coming in, and the second baseman Rogers backpedaling makes the catch. And the ball game is over. The Rockies win it by a score of 3-1.
Rockies win 3-1, so now the Cubs will take on the Cardinals. The Cardinals are in town for a three-game series, culminating in a Sunday night game, which will be televised nationally. So I'm sure you have thoughts on that, as we always do when we talk about the Cubs playing on Sunday night. The news here was that Craig Kimbrell was in the building. And it was great to see him, and it was great to see the Cubs starting to talk about what their plan is for Kimbrell. And this is what Kimbrell was said about waiting on getting a deal done.
Well, I mean, from the beginning, as soon as Theo and David got on the phone, we knew this was heading the right direction just by the conversation, the back and forth, the willingness to negotiate and get to this point. We both wanted this to happen, and that's why I'm here.
So this is the other question that came up. Theo was on the score, and it was great. He, Connor, and Dan had a really great baseball conversation. And the question was asked about the length of the deal that Craig Kimbrell got. He got a three-year deal that's worth $42 million, so basically $10 million this year, $16 and $16 the following years. Did they have to go 3 years? Could they have gotten a one-year deal out of Kimbrell? Theo answered this way.
Yeah, it was a competitive marketplace.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that there were other teams at 3 years, and we didn't blow away the competition at all. I think financially, I think we might have got them by a nose, and then the appeal of Chicago and everything is what Craig wanted to be here made this happen. But no, that's the cost. You know, I think, like, if you could have told us in the off season that's the price for Craig Kimbrell, we would have said that's a really good price. It's good value for a guy like that. Now, whether we could have done it or not based on our situation, that's another story. But in the end, I think it's a good resolution for everybody. It's a fair deal for us and just the right piece that we need. And Craig gets to be in an attractive destination with a contract that, he can be proud of, and he gets to go out and do his thing.
So that's what Theo had to say about the deal. The other, the party that's been reported that was in talks with Craig Kimbrell was the Tampa Bay Rays. And Kimbrell had actually said some things about needing to being someone who goes off of adrenaline and knowing that here at Wrigley, he is going to have big crowds to perform in front of, that he's going to be able to get that necessary juice from this crowd versus other crowds. And quite honestly, Dan and I were talking about it. You're not getting that in Tampa. Tampa doesn't provide that, no matter how good they are. And they are such a great franchise, considering some of the financial constraints that they have had. They just aren't able to get over the hump as far as day in, day out type of crowds that he's definitely going to have for the remainder of the season here. And I would imagine beyond. So that is our rundown for today, Friday, June 7th. This hour is being brought to you by Honda CRV. Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental Difference. I'm Lawrence Holmes, broadcasting from the right field porch at Wrigley Field. It's pretty dope, the setup that we have. You can actually watch it on Watch670TheScore.com and on our Facebook page, too, I'm guessing. You can check out what's going on here. I had to bring the extra jacket in today, because we're shaded. In the sun, everything is fine, but we've got the canopy up, so it's like 15 degrees cooler here. But I got the jacket on. You can see it roll tight. Yes, yes, Tony, that's what you should have done. You should have, you always should pack a light jacket if you're going to cover a game at Wrigley. And apparently this year, for sure, you should be packing a light jacket because summer doesn't seem like it wants to show up. It'd be nice if it did, although I'm not going to lie, sleeping with the windows open over the last couple of days has been kind of nice. I just fear what's, I don't know what I fear more.
Careful, like the, don't get Alex 80, Rod, don't get A-Rod.
Why? Oh, because of what?
Yeah,
A-Rod. Are you talking about climate?
No, no, A-Rod, he got pictured on the toilet.
Oh, no, I'm talking about sleeping. I'm not talking about going to the bathroom. Are you listening to a different show today?
No, I mean, just in general, like, you've got to be careful with the windows open and you're kind of a celebrity. You know, you never know who's out there watching you.
That's his way of saying okay. Yes.
Yes, I was not paying attention. Fine. I mean, it's stuff like that happens. But no, just I'm usually a guy that we have the fight, and every household probably has this where one spouse wants it cooler, one spouse wants it warmer. And we've actually found detente with the windows open over the last couple of nights. That being said, it'd be nice to not have to pack a jacket everywhere you go. And the fog has been unbelievable. And people can't drive in the fog. Add that to the list of things that the Chicagoans can't drive in. Rain and fog. Snow we got. Rain and fog, though, is a really big problem for us. Theo Epstein was on with Connor and Dan. And one of the most interesting things that he said, they asked him point blank about Morrow returning. And his answer was, I don't know. And because of all the stops and starts, I think that them signing Kimbrell is a pretty good indication of how the organization feels about their closing situation. And they can't trust that he's going to be back. So you have to go out, and if you really feel like you have a chance to win, then you have to be aggressive. And they think that they have a chance to win, which is why they brought in Kimbrell. Texter, yes, we get that it's officially not summer yet until June 21st, although I do believe it is meteorological summer starting on June 1st.
And so, it's June.
And it's June. And I think we've had, what, one 80-degree day? But thanks. We always need that guy texting the show. Appreciate you for that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Theo Epstein had some interesting things to say about how the Cubs got Craig Kimbrell. You're not going to believe who played a significant role in making the deal happen. I'll share that with you next here on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Matt Nagy.
We've been discussing Mitchell Trubisky this morning. How much different do you expect him to be in his third NFL season?
He's really able to really focus on the second level, which is learning what the defense does. We're really excited about his progress and really looking forward to doing it, you know, full speed ahead.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. It can only happen in Washington. Just when it seemed as if the local NFL team was having a decent offseason, drafting Dwayne Haskins, making a couple of good free agent pickups, chaos erupted at the start of the team's first mandatory minicamp. Why? Because seven-time Pro Bowl left tackle Trent Williams was a no-show, and sources say he doesn't want to play in D.C. anymore because the team's doctors were slow diagnosing a medical issue, not a football injury. Remember, this is the team that left Robert Griffin III on the field during a playoff game when he was clearly hurt. It says a lot about the franchise that Williams, who's twice been suspended under the NFL's drug policy, is looked to in the locker room as a team leader. Now he may want out. You can't blame anyone for wanting out of Dan Snyder's dumpster fire, but this one has caught even the most rah-rah DC media types by surprise. I'm John Feinstein.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. We pride ourselves on providing creative solutions to finance small businesses. I'm here with Paul Sharfman of Specialty Cheese Company talking about the benefits of government-guaranteed lending. We help Paul with both SBA and USDA loans to help him consolidate financing and grow his business.
Each time we've had a financing challenge, the Byline people have said, I don't know how we're going to do this, but they don't say no. They say, let's figure out a plan to work together to make it happen. And by gosh, they do. The philosophy of the small business capital team at Byline Bank and what the team executes so well is working with riskier companies that have potential and mitigating that risk with government-guaranteed credit enhancements through SBA and USDA loans. Very persistent, diligent, understanding people. We tripled our balance sheet overnight.
Byline Bank. We make it personal and listen to what matters to you. On the web at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com.